Phonetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, a series of weekly teachings on spiritual leadership, soul growth, and the principles of divine administration, presented by the mandate of the Bright and Morning Star at the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. The title of this teaching is Leaving the Fallen System and Taking a Leap of Faith, a discussion on paper 264 of The Cosmic Family, Volume 3. Here is Neon Emerson Chase.
There's a difference between being confrontive and combative. This paper is far from being combative because it over and over emphasizes nonviolence when you confront evil within yourself or others or in the systems of society. There's no violence, nothing like that. Combativeness is using violence in some form, whether it's in language and name-calling and degrading someone, discrediting someone, lying about someone, or whether it's doing violence in anger and frustration. Often people with good intentions, if they get in a mob and they're really impassioned about what they're believing in and they're thinking they're confronting something wrong in a situation, when they come together, if they allow their anger to get ahead of them, it can erupt in violence and there's destruction of property, people can get hurt, killed, so on and so on. And we've seen examples of that over and over just in the last few years here in this country as well as other countries. So the paper is confrontive, and Jesus was confrontive many times. Truth is confrontive. And what confrontive means is that you bring light to something that may have been hidden or that's in error, that's sinful, iniquitous. It's evil. And we gloss it over sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to see it, or people just aren't aware of it, or you ignore it, or whatever. Confronting evil is just bringing it to light, showing it. Recently, there has been a discovery, and it's just like boom, boom, boom. It's discovering one school after another, not only in Canada, but in this country, that were run by either churches or the governments of these two countries, that were boarding schools for Indian children. And they were in existence for a long, long time. I remember when I was teaching at San Carlos on the Apache Reservation, and some of my eighth grade students, they wanted to leave the reservation because their particular situation was miserable, and they thought they could escape if they could go to a boarding school. And so they would go, some of them went to Sherman, but there were several residential boarding schools for just Native Americans. Phoenix Indian School was one run by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Sheridan and Sherman were all run by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And these schools have been in existence for 100 years or more. Well, it was all hidden, though, the terrible things that happened at those schools. And so the evil of what happened in those schools is being confronted now. And so light is being shed, and they're finding mass graves of where these children disappeared when they were taken to these schools. And the things that happened to them there, they died, and they were buried. And so that is an evil that is finally being confronted, thank goodness. And I can use example after example of many things that are being confronted within in our society today, in Western civilization, European nations, as well as our country and Canada. But there's so much more that needs to be confronted. But I remember when I was a teacher in the public school systems, I chose that profession because I wanted a profession that would help and serve others. And I was a natural teacher. I knew from the time I was a little kid that I wanted to teach. One time I had visions of being a missionary in Africa. You know, Africa at the time when I was a kid, that was the exotic country to go and help people and save people. I had the savior syndrome. But in that was the innate desire to serve others that all of us humans have within us when we can awaken to it. So for many years, I did teach in the public school system. I returned to San Carlos, where I grew up from fourth grade on, the Apache Reservation there, and taught there, loved it. But I taught the last few years in the border town that bordered the reservation. And when the Apache students graduated from eighth grade, they were bused into this town that was originally a mining town to go to high school. And I wanted to teach there so that I could be a buffer for them, because when they went there, they met with a lot of prejudice from the non-Indian students. And so I knew them. I was part of them. I came, you know, I was one of them. So I wanted to be a teacher there that was a buffer for them. So I taught there. And I did love teaching, but there came a point where I began to get very restless and dissatisfied, because I was working in a system that was teaching false values, and it really began to torture me. And I was able to teach the way I wanted to teach in my classrooms, and I feel very blessed that I was able to, and that I wasn't dictated to, and I was given that freedom to do that. So I brought in wonderful, wonderful literature, because I taught literature, and that taught higher ideals and values. But even that, I had that freedom in my classroom, and I loved the kids. I loved my students. I loved my job. I loved the subject matter. I still was in a system that was false in many ways, that went against a lot of God's laws, and that really bothered me, and that pigeonholed human beings and wanted to funnel them in certain areas and prepare them for the dominant culture, which I already struggled with and thought was a culture that needed a major overhaul, that there was so much economic and social inequity in that culture. This is way back then, when I was still in my 20s when I was thinking this. Now many people are realizing that. But I recognize the systemic racism, the systemic fear, and materialism, and the purpose of school supposedly was to train people to become where they could earn money but become good citizens of a government that was far from perfect. There were a lot of good things about the government, but there was a lot of things that needed changing and improving. So as the time went on, I became very tortured about being part of the system. And yet at that the time I began to struggle with this more and was feeling confronted by the spirit of truth within me that I was going to have to leave this system, I was terrified. I was very fearful, because I was a single parent with three kids, and I had, a salary which most people would think was at poverty level. The most I ever made in a salary as a teacher is $26,000. And I thought that was just absolutely wonderful in those days. And because I lived very simply, I didn't live and modestly and budgeted my money. But it's really poverty level today. But even then, many of my fellow teacher colleagues had second jobs in order to survive and pay their mortgage or rent and support their children, or they had second jobs to save money to send their kids to college. And even in those days, college was considered very expensive. So I didn't know what to do because I was feeling so tortured about being part of a system that I didn't want to be part of and perpetuate, just being a member of that system. Even though I was doing good in that system, it wasn't enough anymore. It came to a point where I was getting, the spiritual forces were pushing me to leave that system. And of course, being very, very attached to financial security, I was terrified. I argued for a couple years with the Spirit of God within me, but I begin to move into the direction of I cannot even be here anymore. I'll go crazy. I'll lose my sanity by being a part of this. So I had to quit and take that leap in faith. And the minute I took that leap in faith, almost the minute, it was within a couple months afterwards, and resigned from next year. I was going to finish out the school year in my contract. And of course, I got a lot of flack from all of those people who loved me and were concerned. And why would I do that? I'm just crazy. And they did think I was crazy because I said, it's what God wants me to do. Well, what are you going to do? I don't know. But I want to go into, I know he wants me to get into full-time spiritual work. Well, are you going to go to theology school and become a minister? No, it's not in that direction. I have no idea what. Well, I'm irresponsible. What's wrong with me? I got three kids, you know, on and on and on. Within a couple months of that, and I was walking around pretty shaky because it's like, whoops, you know. I poked a hole in my raft that keeps me afloat. I'm going to sink. That's when I, through some wonderful circumstances, was led somewhere where I met Tali Esfand. And from there, then, that was, I got a new raft, in a way. And because he was very, very adept at taking leaps in faith, he gave me that courage too, fed me the courage and kept pushing me out of the nest of security. And so it's been a wonderful, wonderful ride, up and down, but mostly up, and absolutely wonderful since then. But I had to choose to leave the system. And this is what paper 264 is encouraging, is you have to become aware in these times of the evil around you. And you don't take up arms against the system. You don't create what happened in January 6th of this year and or anything like that. But you have to begin to confront what you are aware of that is wrong in the system. During the Nazi Holocaust, when Hitler was in charge, many, many people, not only just in Germany, but in France and Italy, Poland, and all of the countries that Germany occupied, many people really did know what was happening, that the genocide, the attempted genocide that was happening, and they didn't have the courage to confront it, most of them. They pretended like they weren't aware that it was going on, or they buckled to this iniquitous government, and it was iniquitous, very evil. Some were able to stand up and confront it. Corrie ten Boom and her family did, and they hid people, Jewish people, they hid them in their houses. And there were others, I'm trying to think, there's been other people who were people of faith who had the courage, who felt God wanted them to stand up to that. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is one of them who spoke out against it and was imprisoned and then executed for that. Most of the people just sort of ignored it. and just tried to live. But some actually, in their own evil, they begin to turn in to the government, to the Nazis, who were Jews or gypsies or whatever, where they were hiding if they knew. And so that evil had to be confronted in some way. And it was individuals of faith and then other nations who took up arms against them, unfortunately having to take up arms. We're not being asked to do that today. But we're told that the Lucifer Rebellion that happened 200,000 years ago, and so for 200,000 years, it has been percolating, and it's in every aspect of cultures and societies, in every nation, in every corner of the world, and it's so impacts us today that it impacts everyone in their moment-to-moment thinking and doing and being. And it's very difficult for people who feel motivated and led by God to live a life that is of love and truth and justice and peace. It's very hard, and it's quite a battle for people to live that, not just in these days. It seems to be more challenging for some in these days, but throughout all 200,000 years, and many, many people of faith have been crucified as Jesus was, or burned at the stake, or executed in some manner, imprisoned, or if they weren't that, they were ignored, or they were ridiculed, their reputations were ruined, and on, some were committed to mental institutions as crazy because they were going against the system of Caligastia. Paper 264 is saying, hey, it's now time. You're going to have to do something about this. And it holds each one of us as individuals accountable. First and foremost, we have to confront the evil that is in us, the error that is in us, the fear, the cowardice that's within us, or whatever. And my personal experience was, throughout my childhood, thanks to my parents and other godly adults in my life, I was confronted in my selfishness and my wrongdoing at times. And it made me feel accountable for who I was, because at times I could be mean-spirited, pride would come out at times, all those very human things that we're ashamed of, that we start practicing when we're kids. Thank God that I had adults in my life that confronted that right away and showed me a higher way and wanted to inspire me. And because I was brought up in a home where God was alive and well and the Spirit of Jesus was alive and well, I had that blessing. But we all need to bring that Spirit of Jesus into our lives. And the societies need to bring it in, even if they don't use the name of Jesus, but use the teachings of Jesus. Frankly, those teachings of divine pattern, those universal laws of ethics and morality, are found in almost every world religion. And when you get down to it, if you're going to live with other people in a society, they're common sense laws. They're laws of how you have to regulate yourself for the common good of all. And so it's that interesting being an individual and yet also being part of a large group of people and of service to others, becoming planetary citizens. We are in a dispensation, according to the Urantia book. There's been several dispensations in the history of life, human life, on this world, but we're in the dispensation of what we would call the Spirit of Truth. It's the dispensation of Jesus, his life here on this planet, and the teachings that he left, the true teachings of him, and the Spirit of Truth that is alive in us if we are receptive. And in this dispensation, we need to confront all false teachings in religions, whether they're religions that go in the name of Jesus or whether they're religions that were founded way, way before Jesus ever was on this planet, but teachings that promote racism, social inequity, violence, genocide, crusades, and on and on and on. Superiority of a group of people over others, slavery, and on and on and on. And in this day and age now, in this nation and other nations, these things are being confronted by many people, and saying our government has been guilty of this, but our government has also brought a lot of progress to the evolution of humankind. Religion has prevented people from growing, but it also has been very progressive and brought people. It depends on the kind of religion. If it's the true religion of God, the true God, and Jesusonian, or if it's a false religion, and many religions are hodgepodge. They're a mixture of good and bad. When Jesus walked this planet, he confronted that in his Jewish religion that was not of God, was not of his Father, his universal Father. But he always brought out those wonderful scriptures, and he would quote them often, that were of truth and beauty. And there was so much of that in his Jewish religion also. In these times of adjudication, which is part of this dispensation of the Spirit of Truth, is the finalizing adjudication of the bright and morning star versus Lucifer. And part of that is for us personally, all humans on this planet, to begin to be held accountable for choices, for erroneous thinking, for sinful behavior, and for iniquitous behavior, and then to hold our institutions accountable without declaring war on them. So paper 264 emphasizes, and we in our study in these last few months of divine administration and administration in divine pattern from paradise on down through the central universe, through the super universes into the local universes and even onto this planet, that government and representative government is the pattern. It is a pattern. But the governments that are being implemented on this world today and for hundreds and thousands of years, they have parts of what we call divine pattern and divine administration principles, and they have parts that aren't. And so it's learning to discern what is good and worth saving in any institution, in any religion, in any organization, in any government, and what needs to be thrown out. And what little or great that is good, then you build on it. And this is how Jesus dealt with dealing with religions when he talked about not only Judaism but other religions. He pulled from them that which was good, and then expanded upon it. And that's what epical revelation is about. And that's what the continuing fifth epical revelation is about. And that's what ascension science is about. ascension science is pulling from that in science, which is really, really of truth and in divine pattern. Because remember, you know, right now it's really, people are saying, I base this on my, you know, science-based facts. We must remember, though, that not all science is factual. A lot of science is theoretical. And so we have to learn the difference and learn how to decipher between that. Ascension science that's found in the Cosmic Family volumes takes the science that is known on this world that is factual and truthful, and then it builds on it. And it brings in, of course, the spiritual aspect, which is very, very important to have. And so in these times here, in what we refer to as divine administration here at Planetary Sacred Home, we are part of that divine administration program, system, that starts at paradise and comes clear down. We're small, we're not perfect, and we're evolving. We're learning as we go. We have to experiment. We have to apply to circumstances. And the celestials who work with us, they say it's an experiment too, and they're in here with us too, saying, well, this has come up because we have to work with free will choices of people. This has come up, so let's see. Why don't we try this and see if this will work? Why don't we try this? The whole thing is trying to pull out that which is good and the potential of greatness in human beings, as well as in existing social institutions that are around. So I did want to close with the quote that is from the Urantia book in paper 264, because this is what the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion, the foundation, it's on spiritual truths that apply to every aspect of life. It applies to economics, politics, science, medicine, education, fun, recreation, humor, art, music, dance, biology, gardening, on and on and on. And but it has to have spiritual foundations. And this is from a paper 134 of the Urantia book. It says, I'm just rereading this. Free will beings who regard themselves as equals, unless they mutually acknowledge themselves as subject to some super sovereignty, some authority over and above themselves. We're not talking about a human sovereignty, superhuman sovereignty. Sooner or later, these free will beings are tempted to try out their ability to gain power and authority over other persons and groups. The wrong kind of authority. The concept of equality never brings peace except in the mutual recognition of some over-controlling influence of super-sovereignty, of spiritual forces. So we have celestial over-control, is that super-sovereignty, that is loyal to Christ Michael of Nebadon and the Universe Mother Spirit of Nebadon, as well as to the super-universe rulers, who are all loyal to the Universal Father, the Eternal Son, and the infinite spirit. And so what this is what we're learning in the university is this beautiful pattern. The wonderful AA program, Alcoholics Anonymous program, and then they have other programs for addictions that are based on the 12-step program. But the first step is to acknowledge you're in trouble. You know, I'm sinful, or I'm an addict, or I'm a mess, or I'm falling apart, whatever that is. And then acknowledge that you're not going to get out of this. You need a power higher than you. You need God. You need spiritual forces. If you don't acknowledge that, you will not get out of your addiction, your illness, your whatever it is. And so even people have for centuries acknowledged higher people, have a higher understanding, I should say, have acknowledged for centuries that there is something way beyond us that we can't touch necessarily, smell, taste, touch, feel, see, but it's so real. And as Santine used to say, that spiritual force, that reality is more real to me than the nose on my face. And as we grow in that and ascend in that, we too feel that. And so I encourage all of you to first and foremost get in touch with the spirit of truth, the fragment of the Father, also God that's within you, and the Holy Spirit of our universe, Mother Spirit, the threefold spirit within us. Then we can begin to really discern what is real and what really isn't real, what is true and what is fake news, what is right, what is wrong within us as well as in the world. Thank you very much.
I'm Second Assistant Minister O'Brien, and I'm a second-time Urantian. And I just feel so blessed to have been both of your students, Talia Sven and Neon, for over 26 years now. And as a native of this planet before I got here, I saw so many wrongs in the world, and I saw so much evil. But I lacked a spiritual context to place it in, and I didn't have the understanding or a foundation to begin to work with that in my own life. And I tried many different things and looked at a lot of different spiritual paths, but I couldn't find teachers who could put it all in place for me. So I appreciate the concept of a super sovereignty and having that over control where you can all unite in one mind and one heart and one purpose. And that's what I learned when I got here as your student, to come under the divine pattern of paradise all the way down to the planet. And I just appreciate that so much. I wasn't aware at the time of just how much I really, really needed it to be able to grow. But in your teachings, Neon, I just appreciated so much your story of being a teacher yourself and of your evolution and your consciousness and the choices that you made. And one of the functions that I just feel so blessed to have is to be a teacher here in our schools and divine administration. And that was founded by you, Talia Sven, and you, Neon, but as our executive director and our leader in the schools, you're so present with us. You're so hands-on in your leadership and your guidance. So all of those things that you saw were wrong with the world that you wanted to change, you know, you translated into this system that we have in our school. So we're able to have this paradigm now, this new paradigm of education, and we're able to put all these divine administration principles into the classroom every day, right from the little ones coming through up to the teenagers, you know, and the idea of being confrontive and the truth being confrontive, and how you said that that brings to light what's hidden. You know, as a teaching staff, we're held accountable daily to bring to light all that hidden sin and evil and wrong choices within us so that we can be better teachers. But we have this framework now where we can begin to implement that with our students. So we have a protocol that teaches them how to share with each other, hey, you know, that wasn't nice, and here's why. And there's ways they can do that verbally, or they can do it in writing. But it creates this school culture that's so dynamic, and it's so real, and it's so progressive. And within our curriculum, we're able to implement these topics of the world that are racism and inequality, and how the big corporations take over and impact. And so that's part of what we study, false governments, you know, iniquitous leadership. So our students are taught to discern the difference between right and wrong. And it's because both of you went first and then taught us how to teach that, but then we're passing it on to our students. So it's such a privilege and such a real blessing to be in that every day and to be growing it. And I just want to thank you both so much for keeping that light of truth alive.
Thanetics, a weekly podcast highlighting the teachings of Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, founders of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion, home of the Global Temple of Divine Administration. For those who feel called to serve humanity as destiny reservists, visit uaspr.org. We bid you come.